going to say that we've been talking about the TRC, but before we do that,
oh my gosh, it just creeps up on you. It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario.
And?
Oh, it's what? The rest of the show?
It's hour two.
Aboriginal Voices? Hour two.
You're having fun with this. I know you
are. Oh, my gosh. I am having so much fun.
That's good. I was just getting ready, and we've got it all set up now, because I told you earlier that we were going to dig into the vaults here at CFRC. And it has to do with education, right? And because we were talking about the calls to action, I wanted to let folks know that you and I have been attempting to share some of the calls to actions by doing some actions right here on Aboriginal Voices.
We are educators, Doug.
There you go. Definitely you are. And, so which one are you going to pick there before we go to our interview?
I don't know, 10?
Oh, okay. Number 10.
So number 10, it says call to action, number 10, new Aboriginal education legislation. And what is that supposed to mean?
Keep reading.
I'll read on. This call is complex and has been seen limited implementation. While there have been discussions and efforts towards co-developing a legislation, achieving new legislation with the full participation and informed consent of Indigenous peoples and ensuring sufficient funding is a substantial undertaking.
Okay. So now let's parse that. How can it be done here? We can't do legislation, but certainly we can then take that idea and bring it into the school setting or community events. The Language Nest, for example, in the Kingston area is funded through a special program. There are Cree language learners in the area, Inuit language learners in the area. And then you keep going. There are Mohawk, there are Cayuga, there are Tuscarora, Seneca, and they're all being taught in Ontario. Okay. I don't know about all of the other communities across Canada. And when I was teaching, there was I'll have to look it up for next week for you, but there was a policy directive from the board from the Ministry of Education in Ontario, and it showed grade 9, grade 10, grade 11 language learning expectations. That included languages in Mohawk, Cayuga, Ojibwe, Cree.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So some of it has been done through legislation. But what we're going to do, we have an opportunity with Aboriginal Voices to provide listeners, Aboriginal Voices listeners, to get involved with our show in the production of the show or in the going and gathering information in the field, that sort of thing. And I remember a number of years ago, I was chatting with Mackenzie Lockett Heemstra, and it was in May of 2017.
Holy.
And her class from her school was going to go to a powwow. And they were going to learn a little bit about First Nations communities through the powwow. So I asked Mackenzie if she would be willing to be our first youth field reporter.
Uh-huh. And she said?
She said, sure. What do I do?
Okay.
I was going to send her with my recorder, audio recording. But she decided she declined taking the audio recorder, but she said that she would be willing to do it. So she grabbed her own notebook, and with her notebook, she went off to be part of the powwow, but also to learn and to learn and ask others what they were learning. So I thought, okay, we had Calling All Dancers there in the song just before the top of the hour from DJ Shub. We are going to talk a little bit very quickly about powwows. And there's one in Tyndonega.
Powwow, yeah, I believe August. It's August the 9 and 10.
Okay. And that's open to people to go to...
It's opened if you want to.
Yeah, the Mohawk... Tyndonega Mohawk Territory.
Yeah.
Okay. And there, I know there's also one at Agwesasne. Those are the two...
I don't know when that one is.
No, but there, I think those are the two closest ones to us. Then there's Ojibwe powwow at in Ottawa. There's a group that does powwows once a month through the summer, but also they do June 21st ceremony, and they open it up to a lot of people. They're on, what's the name of that road up there? Hunt Club Road. They're west of Highway 416. Anyway, you can check out that area or find out about it. But then there's Curve Lake. There's Hiawatha. So we'll see what powwows are available for us to go to this year. See what we do, a comparison of powwows. How's that?
But sounds good.
But I want to go back to our archives, because I know that the powwow that Mackenzie went to in 2017 with her, we call them colleagues, but the other students from her school, and a few other students around. She'll tell us about it. But I want you to get the sense of what she was learning by being at the powwow when uh-huh. you and I weren't there to guide.
Oh, yeah?
Or to interfere with.
Well, yeah. No, you should put this down.
Well, no, where's the
food? I could see that, yeah. You being that.
No. Where's the food? Yeah. Where do we go for food?
Yeah. Well, you can just
corn soup.
Follow your nose, I guess.
Yeah. Bison burgers. Your face is really telling it all. All right, you ready? I would like to go and give Mackenzie Lockett-Heemstra the floor.
All right.
And we'll be back in a bit. And she has a song that she wanted to play after it.
I have a special guest here today on Aboriginal Voices, and this is a very special person to me, because this is your very first field reporting that you're going to do for Aboriginal Voices. So, Mackenzie Lockett-Heemstra, grade 6 student at J.R. Henderson School, welcome to Aboriginal Voices.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're okay. Now, Mackenzie, on the Friday, May the 26th, 2017, you got to go on a special field trip with your class. So, can you tell me a little bit about it?
Me and my class got to go to a powwow. And it was my first powwow, and I know that I enjoyed it, and I think a lot of the students in my class enjoyed it. It was really fun. There was shops around, and there was some cool activities. We got to watch some dancing, and we got to join in. Mm-hmm. I had an amazing time. It was so much
fantastic.
Fun.
Now, you were not only having fun with your classmates, but there were a lot of other schools there. How many students do you think might have been there, just looking around?
Well, there was a lot. So, almost maybe 500 people. There was a lot of people, plus other people who came. And it was very busy, but somehow we managed to stay in our groups.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Now, as well as being on a field trip to your very first powwow, and that happened to be right here in Kingston, Ontario, so that was good. But you had the added task that I asked because as Aboriginal Voices host, I was going to be out of town on Friday, Saturday, and I was going to end up missing the powwow. But you volunteered to be a reporter for us. So I appreciate that. And now what I want to do is interview you a little bit as a reporter and a student. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Now, tell me, give me a sense. What was the weather like that day?
It was hot, but not too hot. And it seemed like it was going to rain. And it had a bit of mist sometimes. But it didn't really affect anything. But a lot of people wore rain boots. But for the dancing, it was very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
But it was actually pretty good weather.
Oh, good. And so... Tell me, start at the beginning when you first arrived and what you saw as you arrived.
As we arrived, there was a lot. We were one of the first schools and classes. We saw people setting up. They were setting up the circle in the middle with, they had a rope around and there was some leaves on the ground. We went and sat on the bleachers as we watched and waited. There were people still setting up the little shops and little activities around. There was two big teepees that people were allowed to go in. I didn't end up going in it, but my friends who did they said they had a lot of fun. As we went in, there was some military people from Fort Henry or from there setting up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just looked around and were anxious, eating our snacks, waiting for it to start. We couldn't wait for it, so...
And so how did it start, then, once lots of people arrived and you finished eating your snack?
My teacher, Mr. Lord, got us, and he told us to bring us to this spot. And he said, just stay in your groups, and we just got to wander around. So when everyone got there and it started getting... busy and stuff, we just started going around to these little shops and little places with, like, we got to do crafts. There was rock painting.
Oh, what did you paint?
A rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was like dot art, so you dotted on it with different colors. That was a lot of fun. Me and my friends had lots of fun with that. And then there was some doll making, like with straw, or I forget what it actually was, but it was something like that. We didn't end up getting to do that because that was a very busy station.
Okay.
But it seemed very interesting. We also got to make medicine pouches. We got to weave it through the holes. We got to bead it as well. There was also bracelet making and necklace making, but we did the medicine pouch instead. And there was like a puppet show, and they had this one station where they talked about stories they would tell kids to scare them, or so they wouldn't do anything, or so they wouldn't, so they'd be good mannered or stuff like that.
You went into the storytelling?
Was
it a tent where they did storytelling or outdoors?
It was outdoors. Everything was outdoors. But yes, there was a tent, but we stood outside of the tent. Mm-hmm. It was just like this, and then he had like a flag and stuff of it was one of their like animal, I think. That was another station. That was the same station where they talked about how like different like families were ravens or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so those are like their totems. So Raven,
yes.
And Bear Clan and Fish Clan. And
mm-hmm.
Okay, and there are quite a few of them. So I guess that's something that people could look and find out what clans they were connected to.
I know he talked about Raven, how his mother was Raven and the mother of his mother was Raven. But there was another one he was talking about, but I can't quite remember mm-hmm. what the other one was. And I think he was talking about how there's lots of other clans and...
Right.
But... some of it I didn't quite understand because I got distracted with the other people. But
mm-hmm.
I got out that he was, I believe, Raven. But other than that, I would like to know some other clans because I didn't hear really anything else except for the Raven clan.
Okay. So that'll give our listeners something to say or to send in here to Aboriginal Voices and share what clan they're from and the stories to go with it. And that could add to... not just your knowledge, but to everyone's knowledge. That's great. So what about dancing? Did you get to go and do that?
Yeah, we got to... They let the audience... It was very involved with the audience. The audience got to join in quite a lot. Me and my friend went in, we did the dance. All you had to do was stay to the beat. Mm-hmm. So of the drum, that was the dancing. Didn't matter how you did it, but your feet had to stay to the beat of the drum, and it was really fun. We ran around and around. They did about, like, I would say 7 songs, and then they took a break and did something else. But it was quite fun. And one of the dances, we didn't get to do it, but watching it was amazing. It was the hula hoop dance, they called it. It was so amazing. Me and my friends enjoyed it. There was this guy, and he was dancing with the beat of the music, and he was using hula hoops and making different figures. Like, he made a bird. He put hula hoops down his arms and, like, flapped it like a bird, and he made a flower, and he made I forget. There was another one, but it was very cool. And some we couldn't exactly figure out what it was, but it was a very cool shape. And he would make, and throughout all of that, he stayed to the he stayed on the beat no matter what. He was, like, on the beat, and it was I enjoyed it so much.
So that's hoop dancing then?
Yes.
Yeah. And what other types of dance did you get to do? Like a round dance or?
Yeah, there was the round dance. At the beginning there was the opening ceremony of the dancing, and then they had grass dancers.
Right.
I think they said something about how the grass dancers would dance when they were going to go move to that spot, or they were saying this was where they were going to move, or some of the dances, that's what they would do. I believe that's what they said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, grass dancers would go out, and they would be the first ones to do the dancing, so they could pack it all down, so the other dancers wouldn't have the grass sticking up and getting in the way. Isn't that neat? Yeah. And the grass dancers kind of have a very interesting regalia, too, don't they? Yeah.
One was in almost like a bush, I would say. It looked very cool. Me and my friends thought it was a bush because he was sitting down when he was waiting, probably when we were setting up and stuff. And we were like, oh, that's a person. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was completely different in a different regalia. It was very interesting, but 2 completely different regalias. So
you saw the men's regalia, and what about the women's regalia?
They were very cool. I liked their dresses. There was a whole bunch of different ones, but there was one that was my favorite. It was very, it had this cape almost like, and when they danced around, she would move it, and it was, I believe, blue and yellow and green, and it had that leathery color. Mm-hmm. It was very cool, and they had.
So she would wear it over her shoulders like a shawl, or.
Yeah,
and then every once in a while she could raise it up. Is that? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, nice. And I love the color idea, the description you gave there. I just want to remind our listeners that I'm in conversation with Mackenzie Lockett-Heemstra, who is a grade 6 student at J.R. Henderson School, and Mackenzie had volunteered to be our reporter in the field for the Kingston Powwow that was held Friday, May the 26th, 2017, and I'm really glad you're describing all these things for our listeners, because it makes me feel like I was there. So what other dancing did you get to see or do?
There was this thing where we held on in a circle. We got to dance around. A lot of the kids fell because a lot of the little kids were there running around. Oh, okay. So they started falling. But the other people, we did it to the music. And really, the other thing was just us in a group, anyone who wanted. But this one was kind of, it felt a bit more organized because it was holding on in a circle. We'd go in and out, switch direction.
All to the beat of the drum?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it would be very difficult. They make it look so easy, but staying to the beat was very hard after a while. We'd be dancing or start talking, and we're like, wait a minute, we're not on the same beat anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we would try to turn or something. We'd be like, "Oh no, we lost the beat!" And then we would have to like raise our arms, and like the guy, one of them was helping us. We stood beside him, and he was going, "Oh, do this," and then we go like this, and we spin this way, spin that way, and then we started doing those all the way around, which was I found was very fun because we got to learn his way of it, okay, or how he would do it. And then we looked, and there were so many different people doing it different ways. It was...
And that's okay, too, isn't it, at a powwow? And it's good that you had someone there guiding you through it. Yeah. Very nice. And so, and you have someone in your family who is a drummer and a singer, right?
Yes, my uncle.
Mm-hmm. So that, and he's going to be proud to hear this about you going to your first powwow. So, yeah. What else did you do when you were there? Then you mentioned dancing and some of the crafts and.
One of the things I learned, mm-hmm, was that it's not exactly a powwow thing, but it was something that North America is called Turtle Island because it's shaped like a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so cool. I did not know that. And the guy was just like, everyone standing there went, "What?" Mm. And he like shaped it, and it was so cool. I know it's not really powwow, but I did not ever know that.
And so now you know what Turtle Island is when they say it, right? It's not a turtle.
So I did, first of all, I learned dances, but I also learned something about the continents and the earth and how it's shaped. And I told my teacher, and he's like, "I didn't think you would learn anything like that, but I guess it's one less lesson for me." But I did not know that.
Well, that's good for everyone to think about, isn't it? Because young people may have been told that before, but I think we need to keep telling it and sharing it and showing, like you said. Yeah.
Another thing was when they said stuff or when they were announcing stuff, they did it in English as well as their own language, which I thought was very neat, listening to how ours was this, how different they were, or trying to match which words were the same words. Mm-hmm. Me and my friends were trying to, like, figure it out, but I found that very neat and interesting that they did English as well as their language.
Mm-hmm. So either it was in Mohawk or in Anishinaabe?
I was trying to listen to which one it was, but I never actually heard.
Okay.
So.
No, that's good. That'll be something that we'll probably be able to share a song at the end of this interview that'll have various languages from across the country. So when we share this with everybody, we'll actually share with you a special song at the end called Children of the World. You just made me think of it. So you've done all these things. Did you have any time to eat there?
Yes, when we were watching dances and stuff, or when you were wandering around, I brought my goldfish and stuff.
Your goldfish? You carried them all around in a little bowl?
Well, actually in a container, but...
had a fish sandwich then for lunch, no?
No.
Oh, sorry. What is it then? What are goldfish?
They're crackers.
Oh, okay.
So during hula hoop dancing, we had a snack, and there was, at the beginning, like I said, we had a snack, but really, we were mostly moving the entire time, so.
Mm-hmm, good. So storytelling, you didn't really tell me about storytelling. Was that done in a tent or just outside?
No, everything was outside.
Okay.
There was like, yes, I said there was like shops and tents and
right,
different stations. So there was a tent at every single one, but we really didn't go under it. We just kind of like stood around it because there was huge groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we went under the tents for the crafts because it was to protect the paint and stuff.
Right.
But no, we didn't go under the tent.
So what kind of story did you hear or do you remember?
It was about being polite or having your manners.
Mm-hmm.
It was about this girl whose parents said they were going to be good to her and they were going to give her everything she wanted. But as she got older, she started just getting what she wanted, so she stopped using her manners. And so her dad told her this story about this this woman or this girl who comes, and if they're badly mannered, takes them and kidnaps them. And once they're under her magic, they can never escape. Mm. So she got kidnapped, and then the woman said, you must eat slugs and bugs, and she went, ew, gross. So but it was to learn her manners. But then she got away eventually after eating the bugs and worms and snails. And then when she got back to her family, she told them what happened, but she did escape, but as I said, they said that you can never escape her magic, so I think they said that she always has, like, snails and stuff crawling out of her and stuff. So that was very grossing out to me, so I will use my manners. But
yeah, okay. So it works. The story works.
It was a very interesting story, mm-hmm. but me and my friends were quite, we better use our manners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So the whole day then winds down for the students because you had to catch a bus coming back. Did the powwow carry on after you were leaving?
Yeah, we left a bit early because we went out, but then we were sitting in the outside waiting for our bus, which was, I think, I believe they said it was late. I wasn't sure if we were just early or if they were late, but I believe it kept going on as we left. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much they did, but it was still going on.
Okay. That's good. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Some of the vendors would be there to sell their artwork or some things like chokers and bracelets and earrings. Did you see any of that when you were there, too?
There was a lot of jewelry, mm-hmm. And as the new thing is, fidget spinners were there.
Oh.
So a lot of my friends got those, but there was a lot of jewelry. There were dream catchers and games and toys. My friends got these necklaces, and they were like glass peppers, mm-hmm. or like little glass peppers. Some of the boys in my class got magnetic bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who got a dream catcher. And there was some hawk feathers as pens and some very cool arts and crafts that people made and sold.
Hmm. And you took your notebook, so you were constantly writing. Did people ask you, what are you doing your writing for?
No, but I got some interesting looks and glances. Some of the people at the stations looked at me funny because I'd ask my friends, oh, can you hold my book or something while I do this activity? And then I'd bring back, or they would say something and I'd write something down. So I kind of got used to it throughout the day that I was going to get glances and looks. But it actually, having to report and write, I think I was more into it and more looking and paying attention and having a bit more fun and just being into the powwow. I think made it more fun for me and more interesting, and because I had to like interpret it into writing or keep it for someone else to know about who weren't there, mm-hmm. or sometimes it was hard trying to figure out what to write or what would help me remember what I was trying to say, but
Well, you've done a wonderful job. You've made me feel like I was there at the powwow, and even though I was driving away from Kingston when you were just starting. And so that's really nice. I really appreciate, Mackenzie, you taking the time to be our field reporter at the Kingston powwow. And I'm sure a lot of people will have enjoyed your conversation with me, too. And thank you for writing it down, because I can also look and see, is there anything else that you would like to say to our listeners and the young people who may be going to a powwow this summer?
I would have to say you just have to listen to the, when you try to dance, or if you ever get to, one of the hardest parts for me was to, like, it's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. It was trying, at the start, it was trying to get right to the beat,
mm-hmm.
but you just had to let go and have fun and just, like, get it, because me and my friends are having so much trouble trying to stay on the beat, But then just letting go and having fun and listening to the music and seeing what other people's art or how they dance or, like, I know how I do ballet and jazz and lyrical and tap, but then seeing a whole different kind of dance or a whole different kind of art was amazing. It was beautiful, and it was, I loved the music personally. I found it had an amazing beat, but...
So I have a special song just for you, Mackenzie Lockett-Heemstra. Thank you very much for being here, and we're going to play Children of the World, and there'll be several languages at the end, and this one's just for you. Thank you.
You were born with a dream and with hope in your eye. The elders have led you and have bid you to try.
Child of waters, rough with cream, child of the journey, walk with me.
Hold on to your purpose, hang on to your dreams. Try not to lose direction. Build your self-esteem.
Enfant de la plaine, enfant de la terre, enfant du soleil et de la lumière.
See the tools that'll help you win through the culture that you live within.
Children of the world,
children of the north, children of the south, children of vision, child of life, children of the heart, children of the earth, children of wisdom, child of love.
As the omens look on, taking pride in your world that your efforts have won.
Children of the world,
children of the north, children of the south, children of vision, child of light, children of the heart.
Child of love.
Every day you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The Charts on CFRC.
With Open Mouths, the podcast is hosted by Carnita Lilla, Associate Curator, Art of Africa at Agnes Etherington Art Center. She sits down with artists, musicians, curators, and spoken word poets to discuss the expressions of their practice. She finds out how they found their artistic voice, which life events shaped them, and who their inspirations are. Find new episodes on Digital Agnes, CFRC's website, and on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe now and join us for moving and inspiring conversations.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips. But are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
You are listening to an audio version of a story from The Conversation.
Ancient pictograph vandalism at Bon Echo Provincial Park reveals an ongoing disregard for Indigenous history and presence. The lead author of this article is Jackson Pind, Assistant Professor, Indigenous Methodologies, Trent University. Narrated by Ad Oris. This story was originally published on September 20, 2023.
Vandalism has once again marred the ancient Indigenous pictographs nestled within Bon Echo Provincial Park, about 2 hours west of Ottawa and north of Kingston, Ontario. For the Anishinaabe, these pictographs' rock paintings hold profound cultural significance and meaning. They constitute the largest collection of pictographs in southeastern Ontario, on the shores of Mazinaw Lake, or Mazinabakinaganzagaigan, in Algonquin meaning, quote, painted image lake, unquote. The Algonquin people, a subgroup of the Anishinaabe, share historical and cultural connections, each with distinct languages, traditions, and territories within the broader Algonquian language family. The placement of over 260 pictographs on 65 rock faces is imbued with deep purpose and symbolism. Grand Council Chief Reg Niganobe of the Anishinaabek Nation condemned the vandalism, saying, quote, this blatant destruction is a deliberate attempt to further erase our history and deprives us and future generations of rightful access to our spiritual and sacred sites. Unquote. As a mixed settler and Anishinaabe historian, I teach about this pictograph site, among three other major ancient sites across southern Ontario, which display the deep connection the Anishinaabe have to their lands. Some pictographs were used by the Anishinaabe to represent clan identities and to sign early treaty documents. The recent damage inflicted upon the site is heartbreaking and infuriating. It is also a historic pattern that points to the urgent need to generate solutions to protect the site. While the Anishinaabe have known and cherished the land now claimed by Ontario's park system as part of Bon Echo Park for generations, the arrival of settlers marked a significant turning point. Settlers swiftly clear-cut the old-growth timber. Land in the current park eventually was bought by Weston Price, who transformed it into the Bon Echo Inn, catering primarily to the affluent. Subsequently, the inn was bought by Flora MacDonald Denison, a journalist and notable figure in women's suffrage and artistic movements, with her husband, Howard. With her influence, the Bon Echo Inn was reimagined to be a home for artists, including members of the Group of Seven. Denison was an admirer of American poet Walt Whitman. In 1920, she had a Whitman quotation carved on Mazinaw Rock, with the title, quote, Old Walt, unquote. I argue that this was the very first form of graffiti and vandalism that physically altered this sacred site. To the Anishinaabe, rocks are animate and have spirits, and this carving beside the pictographs demonstrates a lack of respect for Indigenous history. Eventually, Denison's son, Merrill Denchin, donated the lands to the Ontario government, which then created Bon Echo Provincial Park in 1965. Since stories about the park continue to memorialize the Old Walt inscription without unpacking its problematic history, it's unsurprising if recent vandals believed there would be no consequences for their actions or these would also go unpunished. In 2019, representatives of Parks Canada and Ontario Parks gathered with Pequotkanagan First Nation officials when the Mazinaw pictographs were designated as a National Historic Site of Canada. Yet there is much work to do to address the proliferation of stories and metaphors of the land shaped by individualism, anthropocentrism, and colonialism. My recent co-authored research chapter, quote, Toward Indigenous Place-Based Metaphors for Environmental History Education, unquote, in Land as Relation Teaching and Learning Through Place, People, and Practices is concerned with land-based education in the watershed regions of Lake Ontario, traditionally shared territory between Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe. Unless a profound transformation occurs, vandalism etched into the very foundation of Bon Echo Park will continue to persist. The Anishinaabek Nation said it will be seeking to discuss with Park's leadership and the province how to, quote, work together to properly clean the site with the inclusion of proper cultural protocol and involvement from local community elders and knowledge keepers. Unquote. It also recommends, quote, further protection efforts be examined to ensure that this type of vandalism does not happen again. Unquote. I offer three suggestions for consideration towards rectifying this situation, which will require further consultations with indigenous nations. Protective perimeter: erect a protective barrier that prevents boats from directly approaching the pictographs unless prior permission is granted from the local First Nations. Remove all graffiti, erase the graffiti, including the defacement bearing Whitman's name, which serves as an invitation for others to follow suit. There have been previous efforts to remove graffiti and hand carvings that defaced Mazanaw Rock. Restore stewardship. By entrusting the stewardship of the park to the local Anishinaabeg Nations, we can enhance the preservation of these invaluable heritage sites. Many models for restoring indigenous stewardship in parks now exist. The partnership between Petroglyphs Provincial Park and Curve Lake First Nation. The community of Curve Lake are the primary caretakers of the site and members work in the Welcome Center educating visitors about Kanamijwapking or the Teaching Rocks. The partnership to jointly operate Mississauga Provincial Park between Serpent River First Nation, Mississauga First Nation and the City of Elliott Lake. The province made a 2015 agreement with Beausoleil First Nation to co-manage and operate Springwater Provincial Park. Tidewater Provincial Park is operated under agreement with the Moose Cree First Nation. Lac La Croix First Nation is involved in conservation activities and long-term planning of Quetico Provincial Park. Such models ensure indigenous representation is a constant presence. All visitors can then learn about the sacred nature of these places from the descendants of the original stewards. To safeguard indigenous history, we must invest the necessary resources to protect sacred sites for the benefit of future generations. I have fond memories of paddling by the pictographs and also hiking to the top of Mazanaw Rock before this recent vandalism. Bon Echo will undoubtedly remain a summer paradise for camping, hiking and canoeing, but its deeper spiritual, cultural and Anishinaabe connections can only endure if we actively commit to their protection.
This was the audio version of The Conversation Canada. I'm Editor-in-Chief Scott White, and thank you for listening.
Your library, your story. At the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, books are just the beginning. A library card starts a lifelong adventure, connecting you to everything you need to inspire learning, creativity, and fun. With 16 locations and plenty of online services, using your library has never been easier. Study in a quiet space, meet friends and learn new things, or explore the world through a magazine or a museum pass. Become a part of our story. Visit your local library branch or find us online at kfpl.ca.
No, it ain't too late. We ain't too far.
taking the high road out of town, taking my mind off, taking my mind off the fighting side. I'm walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone, 'cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head, and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head, and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. And let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed.
What's going to what I do say what Glago? Tanya Dahas Gigo, then on Zewa Dahusa Dadje, Ungahu and Hadiwa Nodus, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oska Dewa Nyawar Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
Hi, we're Short Rock to Pluto, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
The world beats.
These are the sounds that keep it spinning.
The continuing story of today's global music.
Welcome to World Beat Canada.
Asimov's three rules of robotics state thusly. 1. A robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. No.